Welcome to the Voice of St. Anthony Parish. My name is Father Robert J. Carr, and I am the administrator of St. Anthony Parish, welcoming you to our broadcast. And usually at this time, I welcome you to celebrate Mass with us on weekends. However, because of the coronavirus, we aren't having Mass per order of the Cardinal Archbishop of Boston, but we are continuing our series here all about the woman at the well. This is the third of three parts. So, we've been talking about the third Sunday of Lent, which is the story of the Samaritan woman. And we've been talking a little bit about the story. And as I've told you, what you want to do when you read a Bible story, as best you can, is to put yourself into it. And that even includes to put yourself into the story, how you would feel if you were there, how it would feel if you were there, even maybe even write down to what the environment is. We already talked about the temperature, but imagine this. So here we have the well. It's very hot. Are there birds singing in the background? Are there crows flying overhead? If you really put that yourself into that scene and then start looking at what happens, you really get a sense of being able to just pull yourself into the scene and see it on a deeper level. Obviously, I'm a writer, so I like to throw in all these little details. And you know who's really good at teaching that, as far as encouraging that, is Stephen King, by the way. Stephen King loves to write. And so he loves to teach on writing. And I've never taken a course from Stephen King, but I read one of his books on writing. And that's what he says. To put yourself into the scene. What did it feel like? What did you hear around you? You know, was the wind blowing? If you've ever been out in the desert, you've seen this in movies if you haven't been in the desert. If you've been out in the desert, and I include the American deserts, one of my favorite towns or cities in the entire world is Barstow, California, which is halfway between Los Angeles and Las Vegas. And it's literally in the middle of the desert. If you go there at night, it looks like you are floating in the universe, because once you reach the end of the town, or the city rather, there's no light because it's the desert, so you can't see beyond it. So it's like you're in this big area that's just floating in the universe because you can't see anything beyond the edge of the town, city. I keep calling it a town, it's a city. But when you are there in the desert, obviously during the day because you get lost at night, you can hear the wind which you may not hear at the same speed to the level when you're in the city, any city, but in Barstow, outside the city limits in the desert, you can hear the wind, just like you've probably seen in Western movies. That is real. And so you can throw that into the scene. And we've seen this woman who is considered the lowest person in the town. She is just there. She lives with now her sixth husband. We talked about how she was probably ostracized, not even by words, by that eyes looking each other, which we find, by the way, in the book of Psalms. You know, they're making eyes at me, is that statement, or my eyes at each other. They roll their eyes when they see me. Those phrases are in the book of Psalms of people rejecting the psalmist. And you can imagine all that is going on. So she comes out at noontime when no one's around, and Jesus encounters her. And to her, she comes to understand. To her, he speaks in a way that she comes to understand. This is the Messiah. And he continues the prediction made by the Old Testament prophets. There will come a time that we can look at and say, wow, that came true. There will come a time that the whole world will look at Jerusalem and worship God in Jerusalem, and worship the God of the Jews. And we see that whole thing happen in front of our eyes. And I said, pretend that you have like one of those web cameras that has audio so you can hear this going on and watch this. And you go, wow, when he says that. You know what he just said? He just revealed who he is. He didn't reveal that to the other. He revealed it to her. Notice what he offers her, living water. This is key too. We know that when Jesus is tempted by the devil offers him to turn stones into bread. And Jesus says, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that is the bread that gives us true life, because it's the wisdom of God. One of the curses of God is not receiving the word of God. That's one of the curses in the Old Testament. For your actions, you will not receive the word of God. That's a curse from God. So we see two sides of it. We see, A, that one of the blessings from God is not just you receive bread, but you receive the bread from heaven, which is God. We see the story of manna, but we also receive the wisdom of God. Obviously, living water is the same genre. And he is offering her this profound wisdom from God, which gives life to her, not to anyone else in the town. He didn't show up in the middle of the town and says, hey, I want to tell you this. And always remember something when you're reading the Bible. Don't just look at what Jesus does and says. Look what he doesn't do and say. So you notice he doesn't come in the morning and say, hi, I just want to visit you. I just want to say hello. I want to preach the word. He shows up to her. He doesn't condemn her. He leads her to show that he understands her sin, has her acknowledge her sin. So now she understands, yes, this is who I am. This is what I've done. He is inviting her to living water so that she can be freed of her sin. And notice something else. He never calls her a dirty, rotten sinner. Now, what does all that say to us today?
Well, Father, it says that if I ever in Samaria and I meet the Samaritan woman at 12 o'clock, that's the way I'll treat her.
No. How many times do you hear people condemning sinners? The Pharisees condemn sinners. We're called to lead people to an encounter with Christ first. And when they have an encounter with Christ, that's what transforms them. Because if you walk around and you start condemning sinners, first of all, two things to keep in mind. The person who's busy pointing out everyone else's sin is not in touch with his own or her own. Secondly, and this is important, so is what I just said, but this is important, that Jesus converted by his encounter with people. And so the way we convert people is leading them to have an encounter with Christ. That is why one of the most important things that we do is adoration in the Catholic Church, when we have the body and blood of Christ in what we call exposition. You don't have to be Catholic to come to experience exposition. You don't have to be even in good standing with the church to experience exposition. You come before the Lord and say, Lord, this is who I am. It's one of the most powerful things we do, because what are we encouraging with that? An encounter with the Lord. A personal encounter with the Lord. That's why the tabernacle is so important, where we have the body and blood of Christ reserved. Now, in reality, the tabernacle is not designed to have enough hosts there to last for like 3 weekends. Then it becomes a case of a practicality. But as we know, one host is enough for us to say, this is the body and blood of Christ in reserve in the tabernacle. And it's powerful. It is an absolute powerful reality that we can invite people to have that encounter with Christ, because that's the first step to conversion. That's what Jesus does. Let me show you who I am. Let me show you that I know who you are. And let's come talk about the gift of living water and living bread. And so that encounter with the Lord is so important. When we understand that, then we understand the importance of us being in contact with the Lord, and important for us to be in union. And that's why prayer is so important. As you'll always hear me say this. They always say that, was one of the priests, was Father Stanton, I believe it was. Manton, there it was. I'm sorry. Father Manton was one of the great Redemptorist priests who used to preach also on WROL many years ago from Mission Church. And apparently someone said that he really says a priest has four good homilies. that he uses, you know, four good messages that he uses in his homilies. And if you're going to hear one that I'm going to say all the time, prayer is the most important thing you can do. Prayer is essential. So we cannot evangelize well if we are not in union with Christ, and we cannot evangelize anyone if we don't lead them first to be in union with Christ, because that's the point. Come experience the Lord. That's what's powerful. Now, there are different things we can do, people have done, and there are different stories we can tell and things like that. But I want you to take this as a model. At no point does Jesus ever condemn her. What he, because it doesn't do any good. What would he do if he just turned around and screamed at her, as I'm sure others did? You dirty, rotten sinner, get out of my presence. Don't you know who I am? I'm the Messiah, and you dare come into my presence? Where would that get him? It would get him nowhere, and he knew that. Instead, what he says is, I want to show you not only who I am, but I know who you are, and I want to lead you from where you are to experience the living water. Because that's what the Messiah does. And that's really what our church is all about. We're not called to give out rules. We're called to lead people to encounter Christ. Well, what about the rules, Father? Aren't the rules important? When people encounter Christ, then they understand the rules and they will choose to follow them because they want to know Christ more. You know, I can give you an example of that in the next few seconds. I want to encounter this person named Christ. I want to encounter Christ. One of the so-called rules of the church, well, it is more than a so-called rule, it's a rule, is you need to come to church every Sunday. If I want to know Christ more and more every single day, I will do my best to be there. And not only will I do my best to be there, I will do my best to know Christ more and make sure that what I experience at Mass, even participating and helping people to build it up, will be powerful. You are listening to the voice of St. Anthony Parish. We come to you from Alston, Massachusetts. You can find us on the web at Saint, S-A-I-N-T, AnthonyAlston.org, and we are at SaintAnthonyHomilies.com. You're welcome to come every single weekend to experience our parish, and in the meantime, have yourself a blessed day and a blessed week. And remember, make Lent count.